All right, we're going to start in a bit of a different way tonight. How many of you have realized by now that this is a new year? If you haven't realized now, you still got babalas from New Year's Eve party, and we will definitely have to pray for you tonight. Amen. All right, here's what I would like to do. Jesus made a statement. He actually told a parable. The parable that he told is one of the parables that probably, to a great extent, influenced my own personal life. If you could go and read it in the book of Matthew chapter 7, I believe it is. And Jesus makes this statement and he said, I will tell you what a wise man is like. A wise man is like somebody that decides to build a house. But he doesn't just build a house wherever he feels like it. He goes and he finds a rock. And on that rock he builds his house. And the winds will come, and the rain will fall, and the storms will beat and ravage this house, yet it will not fall. That is a wise man, and that is a man that listens to my word and does what it tells him to do. And then he says, I will also tell you what a foolish man is like. A foolish man is like somebody that also goes out, probably builds exactly the same house as the first person. Only difference is this man doesn't find a rock to build on. He finds sand. And he builds a house that looks every bit as nice, as flashy, as fancy, as great as the first house. And you know what? You would never have known that there was any difference between those two houses until the storms came. And the moment the storm comes, it determines whether you've got a good building or a bad building. A good foundation or a bad foundation. And Jesus said, when the storms come, that house will not stand. It'll fall. And he said, this is a man that hears my word, yet does not do it. Right. The key thing to understand in that parable is that the foundation needs to be good. Everybody is building. Everybody's building in their life. There could be unbelievers out there that is working even harder than you are at building their house. And I'm not speaking about the four walls that they live in. I'm talking about their life. There are people that work hard at being morally correct. There are people that work hard at their ethics and the way that they address people, the way that they treat people. There are atheists out there that probably treat people better than some Christians. They are building a house, and you know what? From outside, that house looks wonderful, it looks perfect, it looks great, but one day there will be a storm and they will know whether they've built a good house or not. Because when the storm comes, that's when you see whether your foundation was good, so-so, or just plain shocking. Now, why am I telling you this? There's a very good reason for that. We are entering a new year. Most of us are going to try and build something different in our life. We have to. Because until the day we leave this earth, we will be building on the house, which is me. How many of you know that you have not arrived yet, and there is a lot in your life that probably needs to change, and there's a lot more that God wants to do in your life? Come on, just wave at me if you think I'm correct. So we are all going to be building in some way this year. I'm going to be building the house called Rion. She's going to be building the house called Fatima. He's going to be building the house called Mark. It's going to look a bit weird and quirky because he's an artist. But we forgive him for that and we bless him anyway. But the thing is, we are all going to be building. Now, what did Jesus say? You better get the foundation right before you start building. Otherwise, you're wasting all your time. I don't want to be funny. But I have a sneaky suspicion that there are going to be some storms this year. Hello? It is now the 14th of January. Who of you have already encountered one or two storms? Man, we aren't even through the first month of the year. And the first storms have already hit. Now, you know what? The only difference between the house remaining standing and the house falling apart will be the foundation that is laid, and we got to lay some foundation. We got to lay some foundation. And the foundation is not what a nice person you are. The foundation is not how many times you can recite Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. The foundation is not how well you treat your kids or how much money you've got in the bank. The foundation is whether you can live by the code of the Word of God. And so we're going to do that now. And I'm going to explain to you why I'm starting off this year this way. We need to make a foundation. There is a scripture in the New Testament. I forget exactly where it is, but I'll find it for you if you really want to. It says the following: bless them that curse you, bless and do not curse. For that is what you are called to, so that by it you may inherit a blessing. In other words, what he says is, if somebody curses you, God's requirements for you as a child of God is not that you turn around and see what bigger, powerful, hair-raising curse you can put on them to put them in their place. God wants you to, in effect, turn the other cheek and return the curse with a blessing. And then he doesn't just leave it there. He says, because if you do that, you will not receive the curse that was sent upon you. You will in turn receive a blessing. God will, by the way that you conduct yourself, turn the curse into a blessing. Bless them that curse you. Bless and do not curse. For if you do that, you will inherit a blessing. In other words, if you obey the word of God, you will always be blessed. Even if somebody meant something for your harm, for your detriment, or to really just give you a hard time. Who of you would like to have that happen in your life? When somebody comes to curse you, whether it be financially, whether it be with your marriage, whether it be in your relationships, and God just comes and whoop, he just turns it all around. And they say, man, I shot myself in the foot again. What can I do to this person? Who of you would like that to happen in your life? Now you've got to raise both hands. Yes, I like your attitude at the back there. You're starting the year good. Good for you. Good for you. Now, in other words, what we sow is what we will reap, right? If I sowed a curse into that person's life, based on the way he treated me, the Bible says I would have reaped a bigger curse upon myself. So the first curse that he sent on me would have struck, and it would have been compounded by the curse I brought upon myself by being disobedient to the word of God. How many of you know that I would really, really have suffered? Now, some of you should start feeling a bit uncomfortable now, because maybe somewhere in the past you did retaliate curse for curse. You understand why your life is going nowhere. The only way to change that around is to begin to honor the word of God. Christians do not curse. Now, that doesn't mean we allow people to walk over us. Please understand that there is a difference. But we do not curse people for the way that they treat us. We bless them. Why? Because the moment we do that, God is bound by his word to bless us. You all know that God is not a liar. God cannot lie. Man in his sinful state is well prone at lying. But God does not lie. Now, God made the following statement just after he had created the heavens and the earth. He made a statement and he said, as long as heaven and earth endure, seed time and harvest time will always endure. In other words, you will always sow and you will always reap until the earth passes away. Now that is true whether you plant millies or whether you sow a blessing. What you sow, you will reap until the day that Jesus comes to fetch us. Now, getting back to the foundation, this is a new year. There's going to be lots of new challenges for most of you. There's going to be lots of new opportunities for most of you. The difference between you seeing the opportunities and not seeing them is simple: God's blessing. The difference between the challenges breaking you or you breaking the challenges is simple: God's blessing. Let me help you out. Your intellect doesn't play that big a role. Your IQ doesn't play that big a role. Your street smarts doesn't play that big a role. The amount of blessing that God has upon your life will always be the deciding factor. Because if God has deemed somebody blessed, they will be blessed. And if God has decided not to bless, you could do whatever you want to. You will not be blessed. We want to lay a good foundation this year. And the foundation that we are going to lay tonight is as follows. If the Bible says, by me blessing her, if she has cursed me, I will be blessed, how much more blessed will I be if I just curse her anyway without her even having done anything to promote me doing that? If I can bless her and God will in turn bless me, how much more will God bless me if I just decide to bless her? Come on, think about it. Think about it. So here's what we're going to do. Jesus was very practical in the way that he ministered to people. Jesus met the needs of the people. When they were hungry, he fed them. When they needed help, he provided it. And you know what? He didn't just preach long, boring sermons. In the middle of the sermon, he would pull somebody forward and heal them because he could see that they were suffering. Jesus met people's needs. You know what? In this country right now, financially, most people are seriously suffering. We all praise God that the petrol price has come down. But for some reason, nothing else seems to want to come down. And there's a lot of pressure on us. I was speaking to Eugene earlier. And you know what? It's amazing, but there's such a lot of pressure in the workplace. I said to him, they say to you, don't bring your problems to work. But then they make you work till 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. Your wife wants to divorce you and your kids don't want to know you, but you mustn't bring that problem to work. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Hello? There's a lot of pressure on us. Let me tell you something. That pressure does not come from God. That comes from the evil one. And the only way to retaliate against that pressure is to receive God's blessing. And God's blessing must fill you to such an extent that when you walk back into that office tomorrow, the anointing walks in there with you. And you know what? The anointing of God just takes that stupid devil trying to run the place and just boots him right out the front door. Can it happen? Yes, it can. Yes, it can. The anointing of God is tangible. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament. I forget where it is, but it's in Kings somewhere or in one of the Old Testament books. Where there was a man that was slain on the battlefield. He was killed. And as he died, he fell into a crypt. And he touched the bones of, I believe it was Elijah, who had been dead for obviously yonks and yonks because he was just bones. Right? He hadn't been on a crash diet or anything. He was actually very much dead. And the moment his dead body touched the anointed bones of a man of God, because you see the anointing cannot be destroyed, the moment his dead body touched the bones of an anointed man of God, the Bible says immediately life entered him. And he got back up and thought to himself, what the hell just happened there? And you know what? I can only imagine the oak that shot the arrow at him. He probably suffered from the world's first panic attack right there. All right. Anyway, point I'm trying to make is this. If you receive God's blessing, if you receive God's anointing, it will be upon your life. And it will go wherever you go. It'll touch wherever you touch. It'll be wherever you are. And if there's one thing that the devil cannot stand, it's the anointing of God. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. Hello? It is the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. Now, some of you would have seen. Some nights we pray here for people. And it often happens that we don't even touch the person or say anything. The person just comes and stands in front of you. They will yell or scream and start running the other way. Why is that? Is it because of the color of my eyes or the other person that was praying's eyes? Is it because of our facial expressions? Man, my wife wouldn't have lasted very long if it was true. So it's got nothing to do with the way we look. It's got nothing to do with anything we do. It's got to do with the anointing of God in that place at that moment. And you see, that's the thing that I want to send you home with here tonight. We need to send you home tonight with the anointing of God upon your life. Why? Because that anointing will work in your life and accomplish what God wants to do in your life. You see, here's the thing. You can accomplish what you want to do because you've got hands and feet and you've got a brain to figure stuff out. But you don't have a cooking clue what God wants you to do. And even if you try very hard to do what God wants you to do without anointing, you will not succeed. Because it takes supernatural power to accomplish your supernatural calling and destiny. Can you understand that? It doesn't take human effort or human power. And that's why so many people go into ministry and fail in ministry. Because they are trying to do it in their own power. You can't minister to somebody in your power. You can't minister to somebody through your talent. Let me tell you something. Talent doesn't cut it in the world of the kingdom of God. The only thing that works in the kingdom of God is the gifting that is released by the anointing of God that comes upon your life. We need that anointing. We need that blessing. Through God's blessing upon your life, His anointing upon your life is released. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to bless one another. Amen. We're going to bless one another. Why? Because the Word of God says, "For therefore you are called to." If we are called to bless them that curse us, how much more are we called to bless them that walk the same road as us? You know, there's power in me. The power to say, "I bless you, man, in Jesus' name." The power to say, "I bless your marriage, sir. Be fruitful and multiply. You don't have to fill the earth, but just be blessed." There is the power in me to say these things, and God has the power to react to it. And you know what? With all due respect, He has to, because that's what the Word of God says. I can hold God to that. That doesn't mean that I'm trying to manipulate Him. That doesn't mean that I'm trying to get my own way. That just means I understand the Scriptures and I'm willing to stand on it and have faith in it. How many of you, just listen to this quickly, how many of you were here last year where you saw us pray for people and you saw the power of God begin to touch those people? Just wave at me if you saw that. Now listen to me. Why would God release anointing and power to deliver people from satanic bondage, to deliver people from curses, but He will not release His anointing to bless you? Come on, just think about it. But that's how we sometimes think. We look at things like that and we say, "Yeah, but you know what? God's probably got favorites. Or that person did something wonderful or whatever to deserve that, but I'm not so sure whether I deserve it." My friend, listen to me. The anointing of God is very, very precious. And when it is there, it is always there to accomplish what God wants to do, not what we want to do. But we do know what God wants because we have the Word of God. "For I know the plans I have, says the Lord, for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future." My friend, please understand something. It is God's heart, it is God's plan, it is God's desire. His deep, heartfelt desire for you that you shall be blessed, regardless of what is happening in this country, regardless of what your boss at work says, regardless of what your wife or your father or your mother or anybody else says. It is God's heart to bless you. So I simply want you to understand something. When we get together here as like-minded believers and we are willing to have faith and trust God to do things for people when we pray for them, and we see God minister, He will also minister to us. Jesus did not just cast devils out of people. Some people He cast devils out of. Some people He healed. Some people were just plain hungry and He gave them what they needed. For goodness sakes, they needed wine at a wedding and He provided it. Now today, most people will frown at that and say, "Man, that's just not a good idea. You can't help people get drunk." Well, they needed it at that stage and He gave them what they needed. Do you understand what I'm saying? He gave them what they needed. How many of you need some money this year? If you don't raise your hands right now, I'm going to cast that lying devil right out of you. Okay, you know what? It's not just all about money, but I know that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on us financially. Some of us need breakthroughs in our marriage. Some of us need breakthroughs with our relationship with our children. Some of us need breakthroughs at work. We just need some acknowledgement. We need to be treated with respect and dignity by our spouses. Whatever the case might be, there is a blessing and an anointing in God's kingdom that can touch that area and boom, release something in your life. And I say to you again, there is no good logical reason why God would minister to somebody that went to a fortune teller and called some stupid curse into their life, but for some weird reason He refuses to bless you that is trying to honor Him with your life. Come on, hello? It's just time that we begin to trust God for those things as well. You know, often when you say, "If anybody wants prayer, please come forward," the only thing that you have people coming forward for is, "You know, when I was so old, I went to a fortune teller and I did this when I was young." And I'm glad that we can pray for people for that stuff. But you know what? We have other needs as well. And God can meet that need. We just have to begin to believe that. I'm going to remind you what I always say to people when they come forward for prayer. A scripture that made one of the biggest impacts of my life, when the Lord spoke to me directly and actually sort of chastised me in this area, was the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that God exists, and they must also believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." My friend, why are you here tonight? You did not come to hear me preach because I don't preach that well. I hope and I trust that you came to receive from God. In other words, you are diligently seeking God right now. Can you understand that? You are here because right now, at this moment, you have chosen not to watch Binnenlanders, you have chosen not to watch Sevendaland, you have chosen not to watch Egoli or whatever else nonsense might be on TV right now. You have chosen to commit this time of your life to God to seek Him diligently. And what does His Word say? If you want to honor God, you must believe not only that He exists, but you must also believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Who falls in that category tonight? Amen. Can you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? So, here's what God wants us to do. God wants us to forget about this insecurity that we have, that because people won't help us, maybe God won't help us either. A lot of people are like that. If you grew up in a house and you felt rejected by people, if you felt that your father didn't love you or your mother didn't love you, we often superimpose that attitude on God and we think to ourselves, well, if people don't like me that much, well, maybe God won't do much for me either. Which is a lie from the pit of hell. There's some devil in your life that just loves that thinking. Because the more you think that, the less you miss the blessing of God. Because you can't believe that what me, God would actually want to bless me. God has some reward in store for me. Well, you know what? I didn't write the Bible. I'm just quoting what some very anointed men wrote down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? God doesn't waste paper. Back then, paper was expensive. These oaks wrote down what God told them to write, and that's it. And let me tell you something, they did not make mistakes because I personally believe when they wrote the Word of God, the anointing on them was very strong and very powerful. And that hand was just led by the Holy Spirit. This is what I want people to know. This is what I want people to understand. So, what is the foundation that we need to start this year off with? The foundation is quite simple. Every single one of us that is here tonight is coming to this church because we have a yearning, a desire, a longing to bless God. To honor God. To diligently seek God. Which the Word of God also says will result in God rewarding you. Now I can't tell you where that reward would lie. For some of you the reward is needed most in your married life. For some of you the reward is needed most in your wallet. For some of you the reward is needed most in your business. Or in your relationships. I don't know, but God knows. And you know what? Until you get to the place where you can begin to trust and believe and get rid of all that insecurity, get rid of all of that, I'm not worthy. What's that? Unworthiness. Unworthiness is a stupid devil. Did you know that? If you sit here tonight and you say to me, Rian, I often feel unworthy, then I say to you, you better come here after the service and have us cast that devil out of you. You were created by who? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Who's your father? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know this is probably a stupid analogy, but does Prince Charles ever have to feel unworthy? He's the crown prince. He walks into a hall and everybody goes like, we're not worthy, we're not worthy, you know? I mean, he's the most worthy person walking in there. Now, you don't represent some queen somewhere sitting on an earthly throne. You represent the King of Kings. You represent the Creator of the heavens and the earth. My dad, my father, spoke this word. He said, let there be light. And the devil still has a headache from that day. Amen. In fact, his migraine is so big he can't function properly. Which is why he's got a serious attitude problem. Have I got any reason to feel unworthy? No. But life often does things to me that makes me feel unworthy. And therefore I can't trust God to bless me. It is the most ridiculous thing, but there are thousands, if not millions, of people sitting in our churches every Sunday. And they do not believe that God can bless them. You are worthy to be blessed. Your business is worthy to succeed. Your marriage is worthy to be sound. Your relationships are worthy to be godly and to build you up. And if there are relationships in your life that are not from God, then they do deserve to disappear. They do deserve to disappear. Because what God wants for you is that you will be blessed and not cursed. The Word of God says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, He wants to make you the head and not the tail. If you always feel like the tail, there's some devil in your life telling you that you are the tail, but you aren't. You are the head. God wants you to be in the front, not at the back, at the top, not at the bottom. Pressure is something that tries to tell you, you have to be at the bottom. You have to be at the bottom. We need to get rid of that stuff. All right. Are you up for some practical theology?
Amen.
Just wave at me if you're up for some practical theology. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. I want all of you to stand up, please. Remember what I taught you. Jesus did things practically. You will not find Jesus preaching a sermon and just ducking. He preached and then something happened to the people that brought release, healing, deliverance, and restoration into their lives. Take hands, please. Right. Here's what we're going to do. It's a new year. We need a new foundation. Who is the only foundation? Now let me just show you what Jesus said. Jesus said, whoever hears my word and does it will have a solid foundation. But who is the word? John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So here's what I want us to do. It is a new year. In this year, you're going to have to make a lot of decisions. In this year, you're going to be confronted with a lot of challenges and a lot of issues. How are you going to handle it? You're going to handle it this way. The way the Word tells you to handle it. If you don't know how the Word tells you to handle it, you will find out. Somebody will be able to help you. Maybe I can help you. Maybe somebody else can help you. But we're going to stand on the Word. Why? Because that's the good foundation. And what difference will that make in your life? Well, you see, we know that there are going to be storms. Because when I asked you just now, up to the 14th of the month, how many of you have encountered some storms? Just about all of you raised your hands. Now, the only way not to drown in a storm is to be on the rock. The only way not to fall apart when the storm hits your marriage is to be on the rock. The only way for your business not to go bankrupt when the storm hits is to be on the rock. The only way to see God's blessing is to be on the rock. Let's make a decision. Let's make a commitment. Let's make a declaration that this year that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand on the word. We're going to stand on the rock. Jesus will be our foundation. I would like you all, if you feel this in your heart, you do this with me. Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I stand before you today at the beginning of this wonderful new year, full of hope, full of joy, because I'm in your presence. And I thank you for this privilege of being in your presence. Heavenly Father, I choose today to commit this life to you. For this year, my life belongs to you, Lord. My decisions will be led by your Holy Ghost, founded in your word, by Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This year, Lord, I choose to align my actions, my thoughts, and my attitude with your word. And I put these 2 feet squarely on the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. Father God, I live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. Put your hands on the person next to you. Just don't put it in any funny places, please. Now, I want you to do the following. We're going to make this declaration. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom I serve, I declare tonight, you are worthy to be blessed. I rebuke the doubt, the insecurity, the inferiority that the devil has placed upon you. You are worthy to succeed. You are worthy to be blessed. You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Because of who lives in you.
You are a child of God.
And in this year,
I decree,
as a child of God,
you shall be blessed.
I bless you financially.
May the Lord of Lords,
the King of Kings,
the Commander of the Heavenly Hosts,
open the floodgates of heaven
and fill your purse
far above all
you could ever hope,
wish,
dream or desire.
I bless your marriage.
And obviously, if you're not married now, you might actually get married this year, eh?
All right. I bless your marriage.
I bless you with good...
I bless you with good relationships.
I bless you with love.
With joy.
With compassion.
I bless you.
In the bedroom.
May your union
always be godly,
strengthening
your relationship.
I bless your relationships
with your friends and family.
And I bless you with godly friends.
I bless you
in the workplace.
May you represent
wherever you go
your Maker.
May God's anointing
go before you
and make a way for you
wherever you go.
May people feel
in a tangible way
that God is with you
and that God's favor
is always upon your life.
Whatever obstacle
Satan has put in your way
up to now,
I declare now
in Jesus' name,
be gone.
Get out of their life.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
You shall be blessed.
I bless your children.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I bless your mind.
It shall be fruitful.
God will give you revelation.
God will provide wisdom,
knowledge,
and insight
that you did not receive
in any normal way.
In short,
in Jesus' name,
be very blessed
in this year.
Amen.
Thank you. You may sit down.
Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Amen.
Now, I want to take you back to that scripture. What you sow, you will reap.
What did you just sow into everybody around you tonight?
Serious blessing.
What has to happen in your life now?
Serious blessing.
Why?
Because you received from them and you blessed back, and that just compounds the receiving.
Man, the devil's got such a headache right now. He's actually suffering a bit of a panic attack.
I have it on good authority that he's falling apart little by little.
Because you know what? What we just did tonight, that's what God wants us to do.
You know, this rubbish of us going to church and going home and going to church and going home, that's just not right.
That's not the biblical way.
Each and every one of us are disciples.
What is a disciple supposed to do?
We are supposed to minister to one another.
Eh?
Let me tell you something. The Bible says when the first disciples went out and they preached the gospel, they did basically what we were doing now.
The Word of God says, and God Himself went with them, and He confirmed the Word with signs and wonders that followed.
The signs and wonders have to follow something that gets done.
The signs and wonders don't just come by themselves.
Until we do something, signs and wonders cannot appear.
Tonight we have done something. We have made the way for the signs and wonders to begin to flow into our life.
And it doesn't just have to be some devil getting cast out.
A sign and a wonder could be when you thought there was no money, suddenly there's just a flood.
When you thought that marriage was over, suddenly there's godly restoration, restitution, whatever the case might be, when nobody expected it.
That's a sign and a wonder.
We cannot limit God and say that He will only do this or He will only do that.
If you look at the miracles that Jesus did, You can find certain patterns. But every time you think this is the way that it should be, he went off and he did something completely different. Just to show us all that the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from and you don't know where he's going. And so it shall be with each and every one of us that is led by the Spirit of God. My friends, the Lord spoke to me over this holiday season about the things that I spoke to you about tonight. I did not share this message with you lightly. I shared it because my heart is heavy with it. It is time for us to get rid of our unworthiness. There's another word that I forget. I'm going to try and remember it. I am not worthy. I do not deserve. What is the word for I do not deserve? Undeservedness. Most Christians battle with unworthiness and undeservedness. I don't really deserve. Yeah, they deserve it more than I do. Rubbish. Nobody deserves it more than you do. We all deserve it equally. Because in God's eyes, we are all equal. Let's talk about your past. Yeah, but Rion, you don't understand. You know what? When I was 16 years old, I messed around with prostitution. When I was 17 years old, I started smoking dacha. When I was 18 years old, I went on to the hard stuff, cocaine and heroin and blah, blah, blah. When I was 20 years old, I started stealing. When I was, yeah, sure. Raise your hands if you're perfect. By the blood, yes, you can. Otherwise, you can't. The Apostle Paul puts one thing across very straight, so that none of us can argue. If you want to reach your goal, that's where your vision has to be. If you start looking backwards, you will never get there. You know what? Before we met Christ, all of us messed up. Why? Because without Christ, that's all you can really do. But there will come a day when Christ comes into your life, and even then you won't sort out your life totally. It's a process. It takes us some time. Can you still remember? Can you remember when you got saved? Can you remember the date? Roughly.
August 1999.
Okay, plus minus August 1999. Did you sort out your whole life right there? No. Did it take you a while to sort out stuff? Would you say that there is still some stuff that you're working on? How many of you know that she's not unique? Most of you could probably give me a date or at least a time in a year and say, Rion, that's when I got saved. My friend, let me tell you something. The day you got saved, most people don't know the Bible. So how can you fix things that you don't know are broken? You're going to have to spend some time in a church. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to understand the principles of God and begin to adhere to them. But your past is gone. Why? That is the purpose of the blood of the Lamb. The purpose of the blood is to cover a multitude of sins. Whatever you can name, that blood has covered. That doesn't mean that your life is perfect instantly, because experientially you will probably still mess up. But from that moment you can say, I am redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And because I am redeemed, you know what? I don't have to look back. And the devil can't come and sit on my shoulder and say to me, Rion, you've got no right to trust God for finances because you did this and this and this and this. Rion, you've got no right to trust God for healing because you did this and this and this. You know what you must do when you hear that voice? You must say, shut up and futsak. Because it's not coming from you. Where is it coming from? It's coming from that thing that knows that we like to feel unworthy. We like to feel I don't deserve. We got to get rid of that rubbish. We got to get rid of that nonsense. It's God's heart to bless us. Tonight you did something that you probably don't understand right now, but I trust that in this year you're going to see the fruit of it. You have laid a good, solid foundation. And the foundation doesn't promise that there will not be storms. The foundation promises you will not fall apart when the storms come. Do you hear what I'm saying? Will the petrol price go back up again? Sheesh, I don't know. I hope not. But it might. But will I fall apart because it's going up? I refuse to. I might get a bit upset.
but I refuse to. Is there probably going to be people giving me a hard time somewhere this year based on past experience? Yes. You know what? Some people just have attitude problems. I mean, we bless them anyway, but that's just the truth. And will it happen to you? Yes. But what guarantee have we got? Based on the word of God, when the storm comes, my house will remain standing. In other words, think of it this way. In Israel, or in the desert, where the Israelites used to hang around a lot, when you get flash floods, what you thought was a fairly good place to build a house can become a riverbed. And all the tons of water can come flashing past. And that's sort of the thinking behind Jesus saying, what, two men built a house, one built it on the rocks and one built it on the sand. The one actually built it on the riverbed. And you know that when the river rises and it begins to go into flood, it's got this habit of taking things no matter how good you think you built it. Now, if we built our house in the right place and that river begins to come and it begins to push, the foundation will make sure that it doesn't go anywhere. If it wasn't built in the right place, it'll begin to go back. And that's why you get a lot of people that'll take one step forward, two steps back. One step forward, two steps back. And you know what they do? They turn around and they say, God doesn't care about me. God doesn't love me. Nobody is there for me. This is all a bunch of hocus pocus. You can have your Christianity, my friend. It's quite simple. Let's get the foundation right. Let's tackle the storms together. Let's go through them, because that's the godly way. Amen. Now, I'm still supposed to preach a sermon, but if I actually start preaching now, some of you might forget you're Christians and shoot me. So how's that? I'm going to stop right now. Bless God. I'm not guaranteeing that it'll go like this forever, you know. But for tonight, I'll give you off. All right. Who have you learned something tonight? Now, here's what I want you to do. Please stand and take hands once again. I want us to pray for these meetings, that the people that come into this place will receive, will enter a place where they can receive the reward that God has for them. And let me tell you something else. And this is something that the Lord told me. I can sort of say to my face, but most of you won't understand how it happened. The Lord said to me, Rion, if I have a reward for somebody, it is always there for them. And just because up until now they've never been ready to receive it, doesn't mean that I've thrown it away and they will never have it. Every single one of us have done many things in our life that have deserved reward. But maybe we were unworthy and we couldn't receive at that stage. But when God can start dealing with that stuff, my friend, have you got any idea how much is laid up there for you, just waiting to be given to you? And you know what? Maybe some of you tonight is coming to the place where the whole storehouse up there that is ready for you can suddenly be released into your life. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that we know that we serve a living God. Lord, last year you honored us in such wonderful ways with your presence. You honored us in such wonderful ways by healing people and delivering people. And we know that you will also honor us by blessing us in the way that your word says you want to. I commit every one of these people to you tonight, Lord. Father, you know them. You knit them together in their mother's womb. You called them by their name, and that is why they are here tonight. And Father, you know that there is not one of them that is here tonight that does not deserve. Lord, tonight we prayed, and we told the devil whatever obstacle he has in these people's way, he will take it right now and it will go. Father, here is my prayer. I pray that if it be your will, I believe it is your will, that you will send your godly angels to each and every one of these peoples. And I pray that the obstacles that are between them and success
between them and good marriages, between them and financial freedom, between them and godly relationships. Lord, that those angels will begin to help them, that the anointing of your Holy Spirit will rest upon them tonight and begin to work with them. And I thank you, Lord, that every yoke and all bondage that the evil one has brought into their life will be destroyed. As you are standing, please raise your hands. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that your anointing and your power will be released right now in a greater measure than what they have ever known upon every single one of these people. Receive it and be blessed now in Jesus' mighty name. You will not leave this church the same. You will not leave this place the same. It's got nothing to do with I say so. God said so. Be blessed. Amen. God bless you. Please sit down. For those of you that are here tonight for the first time, let me tell you a little bit about these meetings. I am happy to say that these meetings are totally interdenominational. I have no problem with your denomination. I have no problem with your congregation. What I do have a problem with is that there is not unity in the body of Christ. That we can sit in a specific church and chi-chi-chi about a specific other church and destroy the unity in the body. What I like to see is when, what church are you from? Metanoia Evangelistic Missions. What church are you from? In here. What church are you from? A stupid question, in here. What church are you from? In here. What church are you from? Rhema. What church are you from? Baptist. And you? AFM. Okay, now, you see, this is what we want to see. We want to see people from all over. Why? Because that's what you call unity. Hello? You see, it's very difficult to have unity when the AFM get together. It's very difficult to have unity when the Baptists get together. It's easy to have unity when the body of Christ gets together. And you know, the funny thing is, Jesus said, or not really Jesus, but the Word of God says, until there is unity, there will never be anointing. Until there is unity, there will never be anointing. These meetings are different from the normal meetings that you have. Not because we are trying to be funny, but because we focus on the practical side. Because we believe that it's no use giving you a nice sermon and sending you home and not doing anything. So, maybe one or two of the things that you're going to see here is going to be a little bit weird for you. The first time people see a demon scream or manifest, a lot of them run for the door. But you know what? If you can just force yourself to sit still and watch and see the glory of God in that person's life begin to manifest, it'll probably change your whole outlook on the God that you serve. And the nice thing to know is the same God that's ministering to that person that we are praying for is willing to minister to you with whatever problem you have. Hello? Now that's awesome. You see, me, I want to be where God is. And I want to be where God is allowed to work, where the Holy Spirit is allowed to move, and where the breath is allowed to flow. Because that's where people's lives begin to change. So if you do come to these meetings, you will see some strange stuff. You will see some weird things. But I trust God you will walk away very blessed. Let me see the hands of those of you that came to last year's meetings that were blessed. Well, you see, you don't have to take my word for it. They're sitting all around you. I thank you for coming tonight. We are going to spend some time praying for people now. And let me just say this. If you know of people that need prayer, you bring them here. Because that's what we do. After every meeting, we have time for prayer. You know what? We very seldom leave this place before 1 o'clock at night. In fact, last year, a couple of times we pushed 2 o'clock. The one time I got home at 3 o'clock. You don't want to know what I felt like the next day. I needed prayer more than everybody that I prayed for. But you know what? We don't mind. Because we need to minister. These are the hands. Raise your hands quickly. Those are the hands of Jesus. Do this with your feet. Those are the feet of Jesus. What would he have done if there was somebody with a problem?
You all know the answer. You know people with problems, bring them here. I can't tell you that we will fix their problems. It's not up to me. But we will be willing vessels through whom God can work. And you know what? You never know what will happen. God bless you. There is coffee and tea through there. Debbie, coffee and tea through there. Please go and enjoy a cup of coffee. Have a nice chat. Meet somebody new. And if you have come with prayer requests or whatever. And you know what? I want to take it one step further. If you were sitting here tonight and you can say, Rion, I'm one of those people that always say, I'm not worthy. I'm one of those people that say, I don't deserve. You come forward. Let us pray with you. No, 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 don't you shake your head at me. Are you very worthy? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. But if you are one of those people, let me tell you something, that's a devil. That's a devil because it's something that is robbing you of the ability to be blessed. You and me, us Christians, are the most dangerous people on the face of this planet. If we go somewhere in the anointing of God, the anointing is the oil. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the living water. What does living water do when it touches something dry and dead? It releases life. If I walk into a place under the anointing of God, and there is a marriage that is falling apart, and that living water is flowing from me, and will it flow? Jesus said, yes. Jesus said, come to me if you are thirsty. Come to me and drink. And if you drink from me, the water that I give you is living water. It will gush from your belly and you will never thirst again. And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. So guess what? If I, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, walk into a place where there was debt, walk into a place where there was death, walk into a place where there was decay, where there was problems, and that living water is allowed to flow through me, what will it do to where the death is? It'll change it. It'll bring life. What will it do to where the lack is? It'll change it. It'll give prosperity. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to understand these things. Because when you understand these things and you receive and God begins to fill you, you become uncontrollable. Which is exactly how it should be. The breath, the wind of God blows where He wants to. Nobody can tell the Holy Spirit where to go or what to do. I can't do it either. You can't do it. But you know what? Because I'm here and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God is upon my life and He feels like healing somebody, He'll just do it. He feels like releasing an anointing to bless a marriage, He'll just do it. Why? Because I'm there and I've brought Him there. You see, where I go, the kingdom of God goes. Just for illustration purposes, who can I pick on? Mark. For illustration purposes, Mark, come here with your wife, please. All right. Listen to this now. Illustration purposes. These two are two serious Satanists. I know when you look at Mark, you can think that that's possible. When you look at Margie, you think I'm crazy. Okay? It is two serious kotskillers in ernstige issues, unforgiveness, hatred, rage, violence. Yeah, Mark has had about four affairs on the side. Oh, sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that. Margie, we'll pray for you later. I'm only joking, you understand? I'm only joking. All right, but serious issues, all right? Now, the two of them live that way because that's all they know. Mark grew up in a house where he was always abused. Margie grew up in a house where her father was an alcoholic and he used to beat up his mother, her mother. And, I mean, they do this because at the place where they are in their life, that's what makes sense to them. You understand? It's not like they want to be rebellious or this or that. It's just the way that they are. Okay, so now I come and I sit down and I talk with them. And we might not even be talking spiritual. We might just be having a nice chat. I might be there to sell them something or to help them with their finances or whatever the case might be. But you see, the Holy Spirit has been wanting to touch them for years, but they won't go near a church. Can you understand the problem? So, somehow, the anointing wants to come upon them. I was invited into the house, whether the devil likes it or not. No, no, I didn't come there to minister the gospel, but guess who goes with me? The kingdom of God. And you see, the devil can perform as much as he wants to. He can't keep the kingdom out because they invited me in. So the moment I go and sit down, guess what the Holy Ghost is doing? Man, he's doing some serious open heart surgery on this man.
He's crossing a couple of wires that went uncrossed in the brain. He's touching her. He's touching him. And you know what? More and more, without them knowing why, they begin to question me about my life and my lifestyle. They notice something about me that they can't put their finger on it, but it looks like I've sort of got my act together. And you know what? They might not be the type of people that would normally do things like that, but they begin to speak to me on a maybe an intimate level. They don't know why they are doing it, and the demons in them are all freaking out, but the devil has lost control because the kingdom has come. And that's what Jesus taught us to pray. We must pray that the kingdom will come. When I walk into the house, the kingdom will come. And because I am there and the anointing is there with me, the anointing can work. Hello? So guess what? 6 months later, both of them are serving God. But where did it start? With the release of God's anointing and power that started something in them. The living water was flowing between me and them. You understand? Go and let it flow. Amen. Thank you. You may sit down. All right. I hope that helps you to understand what God wants to do with us. Amen. You never know when God wants to use you. But if you say to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit, I am a willing vessel, He must be willing to move when the Spirit, when the stream wants to flow. And you know what? Sometimes you are not even aware of it mentally, but something's happening between you and another person. That living water. You see, Jesus said, streams of living water will flow out of you. Now the wonderful thing is, it can't flow out until I am full. So it's not like I'm going to lose anointing because something is touching them. There's so much on me that there's too much. And it's now beginning to flow out. And God doesn't believe in wasting that water. He will then channel it to her because she needs it. He will channel it to him because he needs it. You understand? That's what we're going to trust God for this year. Amen. So guess what? You know that boss of yours with the attitude problem? That absolutely just refuses to give you a raise? Insists on you working till who knows what time of the night? Just go zap him with some anointing. Amen. God bless you. If you want prayer, please come forward. Coffee and tea through there.